The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll and home of the Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you. It's a Tuesday here. I'm just getting ready to play, rehearsing to play this Will Ferrell cancer benefit, the Greek Theater. Learning all kinds of new songs. Going to play with Brad Paisley and Chris Martin, Mike McCready, Chad, Chili Pepper, Josh and Chili Pepper, Stefan. And I'm driving, as you can tell. Anyhow, this lawyer was getting questioned down at the police station. And a cop, the lawyer says, look, I'm a lawyer present. And the cop says, well, you are a lawyer. And the lawyer says, where's my present? Thank you very much.
That one is awesome. I love that one. Talk is Jericho exclusive, the Duff McKagan joke of the week. Thanks to Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Duff McKagan for always delivering, maybe not on the laughs always, but definitely on the jokes. That one's actually a pretty funny one, though. And he's delivering at the Will Ferrell Cancer Benefit tomorrow night, Saturday, October 6th in Los Angeles at the Greek Theater. He's also delivering on the upcoming Guns N' Roses tour. They're hitting the Philippines, Jakarta, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Abu Dhabi next month. And my band, Fozzy, going to be at Rock Allegiance on the main stage tomorrow in Camden, New Jersey, Saturday, October 6th. So come rock with us. And if you can't come to Camden, then you got to come on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Fozzy will be doing three sets, and there's still a few, and I mean just a few cabins left. Book now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. The lineup of talent joining us is incredible. I'll run it down for you a little later in the show. But let me tell you, someone else is going to be on the ship and sponsoring the cruise. Pro Wrestling Tees with founder Ryan Barkin. He's the reason Colt Cabana and Marty DeRosa will be doing a live episode of the Unprofessional Wrestling Show. Marty and Colt will also be doing some stand-up comedy. You hear all that story coming up. Ryan's also talking about working with the Young Bucks and all the tees he's made for them. And you know he's watched their empire grow. And he's telling the story of Pro Wrestling Tees itself, how he built that up. He went from making a t-shirt to making lots of shirts for just about every wrestling star in the business. We'll talk about some of his most popular designs, his best sellers, his favorite tees, and some of the biggest wrestling names that he's started working with. And if you're on the cruise, you'll have a chance to get one of three exclusive shirts that Ryan and Pro Wrestling Tees did specifically for the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. It's the only place you'll be able to get these three special designs, and you can do that if you go on the cruise, of course. And you only have to be near a Hot Topic or by your phone or tablet to get yourself the new Bucks of Jericho or is it Y2 Jackson shirt. It's out now in all Hot Topic stores, online at HotTopic.com, and of course at ProWrestlingTees.com as well. Get it in time for the debut match of the Alpha Club versus the Bullet Club on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rage, the big main event. ChrisJerichoCruise.com to book your cabin, only 3 weeks away. But right now, only 3 seconds away, Ryan Barkin talking all about Pro Wrestling Tees right here on Talk is Jericho. Okay, so we're back in the warehouse here at... is it technically one-hour tees or is it Pro Wrestling Tees?
Where we're at, it's actually Pro Wrestling Crate.
Okay, so Pro Wrestling Crate.
But we're in the Pro Wrestling Tees side of the building.
You're in the Pro Wrestling Tees complex that incorporates one-hour tees, Pro Wrestling Tees, Pro Wrestling Crate.
Yeah, and about four other companies that we won't talk
about. A
lot of
stuff going on. So this is Ryan Barkin here, who's become kind of the Pro Wrestling mogul when it comes to merch for basically... I was going to say for the independent scene, but it's gone beyond that now. Tell us exactly who you make Pro Wrestling Tees for.
We started independent. Now we're making shirts for Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, Mick Foley, all the big guys. I mean...
The whole New Japan Pro Wrestling?
New Japan Pro Wrestling's our biggest client, yeah.
And Hot Topic... You know, the big Alpha Club shirt that is such a big seller right now for me is sold in Hot Topic, but you actually made it.
Yeah, we produce everything. We brokered the deal with Hot Topic for New Japan. And then from there, we've been able to do merchandise for for you and other wrestlers that are not part of New Japan. So it's been great.
So basically, anybody that's wrestling outside of WWE is pretty much tied into to pro wrestling tees at this point.
Probably 95%.
That's unbelievable, because this building is huge here. I mean, we're in the middle of basically downtown Chicago, which I'm sure is not, you know, the cheapest of rents or whatever it may be.
Right.
And I'm just looking. You gave me a little bit of a tour. Originally, I wanted to pull a Larry David. I was like, you want to see the tour? Nah, who needs a tour? I don't want a tour.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you gave me the tour, because I got to see one of the things, which was your the sales for the day. And this is, even though it's such a big place, it's still kind of a mom and pop thing where you're packaging them up by yourself, sending them off in the mail. And there was hundreds, maybe thousands in that room.
Right.
And you said that's just 2 days of sales.
Yeah, it's about 2 days of sale. I think we do close to 3,000 to 4,000 pro wrestling shirts a week.
That's insane.
So it is insane. Yeah.
Well, how did this all begin? Like, how did you get to this point where you have this giant complex here?
We started in a smaller store, probably about 800 square feet. Now we're in 10,000 square feet.
But started doing what?
Like, we started, so 1 hour tees started 10 years ago.
So you're just doing like a typical like 1 hour tees. If someone wants to get a bunch of t-shirts for their softball team.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll go to 1 hour tees and give us, you know, a Sheboygan Sharks t-shirts, give us 20 of them and put Chico's belly buttons in the back, and there we go.
Exactly. I mean, well, originally it was Creative Ventures. That's my company name. So Creative Ventures was a company I started with a friend. We did websites and business cards, and we got into outsourcing screen printing. And then we found out about a digital printer, that it was a new thing. It was about 10 years ago, where you can just send a print from the computer directly to the shirt, or directly to the printer to print the shirt. So it's like a computer home printer. So it prints full color and you can just do one shirt. So I was like, this is a pretty cool machine. We should maybe buy one so we can do shirts on our own. Maybe then you don't have to worry about minimums and colors and all that kind of stuff. So we bought that machine. And from there, we just started printing our own t-shirts, and it kind of took off a little bit, but not as much as it should have under Creative Ventures. So my friend left the company, and the big thing was everybody wanted shirts fast. And they were always like, I need the shirt tomorrow. I need the shirt in 2 days. And I'm like, well, I could do shirts in 2 minutes if you want. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I should charge extra for that. So then I came up with the name 1 Hour Tees, and we changed the name to 1 Hour Tees. People don't know what Creative Ventures is.
Right.
But 1 Hour Tees, I mean, it's either t-shirts or something with golf, right? Tees.
How long does it take to make a tee?
It takes 2 minutes.
1 hour. How come you didn't call it 2 minute tees?
Well, I was like, what if people want to order 100 shirts? What am I supposed to do? So I'm like, I need an hour at least, depending on the machine. So at this point, we can print maybe 50 shirts per machine per hour.
Hmm.
And we're running about 15 machines.
Okay, so you figured out the way to make them quickly.
Yeah, every other t-shirt company prices it by quantity and colors and how many prints you have. We price it by turnaround time. So we're like, we could do a 1 hour, we could do next day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, and we'll charge you for each thing. So it's priced by.
So how did that become a pro wrestling specialty?
Yeah, it's so after about 2 years, I met Cole Cabana. He came to the shop.
Local Chicago guy.
Yeah, local Chicago guy. He said, I got a friend named CM Punk, and he needs a shirt to wear on SmackDown. It's going to say, I broke Big Show's hand.
Oh, okay. So, what was the angle? Like, he had broken?
I think he broke his hand.
He broke Big Show's hand.
Yeah. That was
okay, got it.
He wanted, like I broke Wahoo's leg or whatever.
Right, 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 right.
So I made a shirt. I made the shirt. They came there. I met both of them. And then Colt emails me, and he's like, I need shirts to sell at shows. I'm with Ring of Honor. I'm an independent wrestler. I'm like, I don't even know what Ring of Honor is. I don't know about independent wrestling.
So you weren't a wrestling fan?
I was a WWE gotcha. Fan, but I didn't know about independent wrestling. My brother knew about it, so he kind of filled me in. And, you know, from there, he introduced me to guys like Joey Ryan and Kevin Steen and the Young Bucks.
But slow down a bit. So Colt goes, I need some shirts to be made, because independent guys, and one thing for me, I'm lucky I was independent, but I haven't been for 20 years, and we never really sold merch anyways. But now that's the big thing, is you sell merch to make more money. You have to get them made somewhere.
Well, some of the guys make more money on the merchandise than they do to get get paid, you know, to wrestle. So, you know, they're going away on Friday, Saturday to wrestle. And I would make bulk orders for a lot of these independent guys through 1 hour tees at the time. There was no pro wrestling tees.
Right.
So it's still 1 hour tees. And then I'm like, well, you guys are making money on merch on the weekends. What about like the weekdays? What are we going to do? And Colt's like, I don't know, you decide, what can you do? And I'm like, let's create a website where you can sell merchandise all over the world. You'll set up your own store and we'll sell those exact designs that we're doing in bulk, but I'll take care of the printing and shipping. So that's kind of how it all started. And that was
What was the shirt that you made for Colt incident firstly?
I Star Colt with the Jewish star on it. It's kind of like a...
Instead of I Heart. Star of David.
Yeah. And he still sells it today.
That's the original.
It's one of his like highest selling shirts.
You know, it's funny. I remember when I was doing a thing with Goldberg years ago, 20 years ago. And it was, I kept like weaseling my way out of matches with him, but claiming a victory. So it'd be like Jericho 1, Goldberg 0. Jericho 2, Goldberg 0. So I went to have a t-shirt made. It was in Greenville, South Carolina. I went to a place at the mall and said, can you make a shirt for me? Jericho 1.
Yeah.
Goldberg 0. And they were like, I guess. So I got that made over the course of an afternoon. Because I remember, how fast can you make this? I was like, it's going to take, 5 hours. Like, I need it in 3 hours.
Right.
Like, how hard would it be to do that?
Yeah.
You know, but I wish I would have known 1 hour tease. I could have went.
How long ago was that?
1998.
So yeah, there was no digital printer. It was probably
that's the old, yeah, the old,
the vinyl lettering, right?
Put the letters on and push the presser down. And
right.
And then my idea was I would take a black piece of tape and put it over the one and then put a white piece of tape for two.
Yeah.
And then just kind of, it's like, even though it was only 20 years ago, it's very much archaic technology.
Except people do it today still. There's vinyl lettering. There's places down the street that do vinyl lettering still. So it's just, we have the new technology. So we have the ability to print it in 2 minutes if you need it.
So did Colt basically go to the guys and say, hey, I know this guy, Ryan, and he can make shirts for you guys.
Yeah.
And that kind of where it spread from?
Yeah, basically.
Hmm.
Kind of went, it was all independent. We, like our first, the first shirts we put up were for Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. He was selling, like, it was a big deal. If he was selling like one shirt a day, it was like a streak he had going on. He's like, I sold another shirt. He's like, let's keep the streak going. It was like one shirt a day was like huge. I mean, now we're like 300 shirts a day or something crazy. So it's crazy how much it's grown from like the beginning.
So, but even at that point, so you're taking it to the Ring of Honor guys. Like, are you walking around like with a notepad taking orders, or like, are you going to the shows? Are they emailing you saying
for like the bulk orders and stuff?
I guess
that?
So, like, just how it started to spread.
I think
it's easy to get to the point now where you have 1,000 different titles. But I'm going back to when all you had was Colt.
Yeah,
and then he's trying to build this with you.
They would just reach out to me, email or something. Hey, I got your name from Colt. Can you make me some shirts? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So, I mean, that's really how it came about. And then from there, I think that Colt, I don't remember all the wrestlers, but at some point, I think like maybe 2 or 3 weeks after I launched the site, I went to a convention here in Chicago and I met Diamond Dallas Page, and I made like an old WCW shirt. And I was like, hey, can you sign this? And he's like, where'd you get this shirt? And I'm like, I made it. He's like, I need someone to make shirts for me. And I'm like, I actually started a website called Pro Wrestling Tees. If you're interested, you can sign up. He's like, yeah, maybe. So I got his number, and like it took like three or four months before he actually signed up with me. And from there, he was like the first, legend, I guess you
big,
would say.
Big Hall of Fame name.
Like, and I was like, oh, that's great. And then there was a guy named Bill who did a lot of his marketing, and he's like, I can get you Jake the Snake and Scott Hall and Mick Foley and all these guys. I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's sign him up. And from there, it just kind of like took off.
It's typical entertainment when if somebody's hot, then everyone else wants to get involved with it as well, right?
Yeah.
So how many people do you have? Because we work together. We'll get into the Hot Topic thing, but we did a thing for a while where I had like 3 or 4 designs.
Yeah.
And you go on the website and there's like, how many people have designs?
Yeah. We have 1,000 wrestlers now.
1,000?
Now we do, yeah. I would say probably like 300 or 400 are like known big named legends. And then you've got probably like 200 or 300 indie, top of the indies, and then you've got a lot of people who are just like getting started.
So it's like the Pro Wrestling Illustrated top 500.
Yeah, basically.
You know, like the first 50 and then never heard of the, like, so who's the biggest name on your roster right now?
Right now, I guess Steve Austin would be.
And who's like the most obscure name on your roster?
I couldn't even tell you.
Give me one name.
I have no idea. I don't even pay attention though. I mean, some of these guys sell one shirt a month, or some of them sell no shirts. I have people who have signed up and they'll put up 10 designs and they'll sell 0 shirts. And they could be the next Chris Jericho. I don't know who they are. So I'm not going to tell them they can't set up
but
a store.
But it doesn't cost you any money because you're just making them per order.
Yeah, exactly. We don't stock anything here. So it doesn't matter if they put up 10 designs. It's just time. And we're willing to take that time to put up the shirt. So it might take like 5 to 10 minutes to put up a design.
So, okay, well, you're talking about like a guy like Stone Cold Steve Austin, yeah. And that's obviously one of the biggest merchandising sellers of all time.
Yeah.
How did you get hooked up with him? Because that is not, Steve is a great guy, a good friend, but he's not, I'm sure he's not the easiest guy to deal with when it comes to what he would kind of think is like maybe some kind of an indie thing or whatever it may be.
Right. So I think Cabana went on his podcast at some mm-hmm. point and mentioned me. That might have put like the seed in his head. But then I direct messaged Jim Ross one day and I was like, hey, you should sell merchandise. And I talked to him on the phone, and Jim and Steve are big friend or good friends. And he, I think he reached out to Steve and was like, hey, if you need merchandise, you should talk to Ryan. And he's like, hey, Steve's going to call you. And I was like, oh shit. Great. So Steve calls me. We talked about merchandise. I sent him 4 or 5 shirts on like a real shitty Gildan t-shirt. And he was like, I don't like this at all. This is crap. And I'm like, no, give me another chance. Give me another chance.
So why didn't he like it? What didn't he like about it?
Like the Gildan shirts, they're good, but they're just basic boxy t-shirts. Okay. Kind of like the WWE style.
Yeah, right.
You know, Steve likes the really fitted, nice, soft t-shirts.
Yeah, he likes the quality of it.
Yeah,
right?
And I have the ability to do 80,000 different types of shirts, so I don't know what he likes. I just sent him what all the wrestling fans.
But right off the bat, he said he didn't like
it. Yeah, he's like, this is crap. Forget it. And I'm like, wait, give me another chance. I'll send you some nice shirts. So I sent him some Next Level. That's his favorite. So, you know, I sent him the nice shirts, Next Level stuff, and you know, he somehow liked it and signed up.
He usually creates his own designs.
Yeah,
I know. In WWE, he was very much involved in his own.
I send him designs all the time. Doesn't like any of them.
Nothing.
No, it's all his own ideas, his own design. I send him a couple that he'll like.
So, what's the newest Steve Austin design?
We did like a cool like Austin era one with
Austin what?
Austin era, like, okay. You know, like. Like an old school wrestling shirt. Haru made it from Japan. He's one of the best designers that we have. The guy that made your Alpha Jericho shirt.
Okay.
He made one with like Steve like drinking beer and it says like Austin Hell Yeah on it. So that's like our newest one, and that's a top seller. Everything else is Broken Skull Ranch, Broken Skull Challenge.
Yeah, that's his new brand. But what I'm saying is he not still under contract to WWE for some? They still sell Steve Austin merch, don't they?
They license his merchandise through him, but he's not under contract for merchandise or anything like that. A lot of the guys aren't, but
because unless you sign that Legends deal,
yeah,
like I don't have that either.
Yeah,
like
some of them sign it. Some of them are exclusive. Some of them are not.
Right.
Then if you sign over the rights to your name, then you technically can't sell your own merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
But they sometimes don't sell merchandise for guys that they do have exclusive deals for.
And does Steve still sell a lot of merch?
Yeah, tons. I mean, I consider him our top guy, but the top sellers, that's not Steve. So the top sellers are the Young Bucks.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Before we get to the Young Bucks, I just looked up Pro Wrestling Tees and we'll look at some of your new arrivals and we'll discuss a few of these and we'll get to the Young Bucks. We got the Schiavone Drip. From what happened, of course, that's Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
What does the drip have to do with anything?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't listen to his podcast.
I love how you're so like just overseeing everything.
I know a lot of stuff.
Frank, do you know what the drip is? I know. Jack Slade, do you know what the drip is?
No idea.
Well, we know what the jack is. It's probably the similar thing. She's got the drip. How about Slapdick Nation?
No clue. I saw stuff from his podcast. So he's got a huge following on his podcast.
Gotcha.
These are all podcast shirts. And then,
but then we got the Shane Douglas is up there
he
now.
He just launched his store. So
he launched
just,
his store. Juice Robinson.
Yeah, Juice Robinson. Those are new. So those are New Japan shirts that you're looking at right there. So Juice has signed New Japan. So New Japan will send me shirts like for Juice. And then Juice will send me shirts for his
like
own.
Designs?
Yeah. So like he has his own store, but then New Japan has designs for him specifically.
Man, there's a lot of stuff to talk about here, but I just want to go through. You got a lot of New Japan things.
Yeah,
you got Mount Toro Yano. That's just a bunch of weird looking.
Yano.
These guys look like Jim Ross on here.
It's all the same guy,
but it looks like Jim Ross.
Yeah.
Los Ingobernables. How do you pronounce it? Ingobernables de Japón.
Yeah.
Is that a pretty good seller?
Huge. Yeah.
That guy's everywhere over there. There's lots of stuff there. Yeah. Kimberly. Oh, that's a cool one, the Ramones, and it's Razor
that's
Ramon.
That's our like new top seller. That's like one of our top selling
shirts right
shirt.
Now.
That's a great shirt. Oh, yeah.
But let me ask you this. So we're looking at Ramones,
yeah.
And it's spelled R-A-M-O-N-S, as yeah. In, and it's the four guys of the Ramones
right.
With Razor Ramon's head on all of them.
Right.
If I'm working for the Ramones or in the Ramones, I'm going to call you and say, dude, this
yeah.
Is total
right.
Copyright infringement.
Probably, yeah.
Do you ever get that?
All the time.
So tell me some of the ones that you've gotten for copyright infringement.
Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels for who? Like somebody?
Candice LeRae Jack Daniels shirt.
Jack Slade's friend who's a wrestler, Candice LeRae.
Lego for Johnny Gargano sends me a cease and desist. I did a McDonald's sent me a cease and desist for a Moose t-shirt. Vans for, I don't know. I get them all the time.
So what happens if you get a cease and desist? You
take down the shirt and you stop selling it.
You're not going to fight anybody.
No, not at all. I mean, parody law, I don't know anything about it. I don't have time. And if they're not selling 2,000 shirts, then why do I care?
Right. And it's one of those things, like, if you're under the radar, no one's going to notice. But now that you're on the radar,
yeah.
You're probably going to get popped. It's
usually when you
while.
Put, like, Lego in the title or you put Jack Daniels in the title, that's they somehow find it, which is...
They probably have copyright guys yeah. Looking through it.
And these wrestlers are uploading their own stuff, so we don't... I mean... I don't sit there and monitor every single thing that they put up, but...
If you have, like you said, 1,000 people on board, there's only so yeah. Much you can take care of.
Right. I mean, I just kind of let them do what they want. These are their... I say that these are the wrestlers' stores. We're just printers, so, like, mm-hmm. The wrestlers put up their own merchandise. They market their own stores. It's their own store, so they kind of take responsibility. In the contract, they do take responsibility for their own stuff. So
gotcha.
If it came down to it, the wrestler's going to get in trouble.
They would get sued, not you.
But I kind of I help them out. And
okay, here's one. The Big Cheese for Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
This guy is white on here. Cheeseburger's black.
Yeah. I think some guy in Japan made that for him.
Cheeseburger just got announced on my cruise, and I had so many people. Like, I love Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Before I even saw him, I just love the name.
Yeah.
And I was expecting like some kind of chubby, fat, like white guy that eats a cheeseburger down to the ring. And then I met him. He's like a skinny African American cat. And I said, why are you called Cheeseburger? And he said, because he's super nervous, right? Like,
yeah.
I guess because, you know, one of his, I don't know, heroes or whatever. But he's like, well, you know, I was so skinny when I went to wrestling school that they said I needed to eat a cheeseburger. So I thought that should be my name. I'm like, oh, that's a good one, man.
That's a good one.
Sticks out. And then we got the Young Bucks versus Rock and Roll Express. That's kind of cool.
It's a dream match shirt.
A dream match, yeah.
We do a lot of those, like dream matches. Like people are like, oh, what if the Young Bucks fought Legion of Doom? What if the Young Bucks fought?
That's cool. So how do you designate the royalties for a shirt like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'll split it four ways. We'll two go to the Bucks, and then I deal with Ricky and Robert directly, so like I have the ability to split commissions between everyone. Even the artist gets paid a little bit.
Tell us about working with Ricky and Robert.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, when we were in Smoky Mountain, I said we didn't used to sell merchandise. Well, we did, but didn't have like professional shirts like you guys.
Yeah.
And me and Lance Storm were the Sudden Impact. No, Sudden. What were we called? The Thrill Seekers.
Thrill Seekers.
And I hated going to sell merch before my match.
Yeah.
I was like, Paul Stanley would never go sell merch before the Kiss show or after.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like a snob, and they're like, you know, that was got so much heat. But those guys
right.
Would go out there and sell anything. They would buy a bed sheet,
oh, yeah.
Strip it into 20 pieces, write R&R Express on them, and sell them as official Rock and Roll Express headbands.
Yeah.
So they were like the masters. Someone would give them like, you know, here's a license plate holder with a Confederate flag on it. Thank you so much. You know, you put it on your car and you put the license plate in. They would take it, wait till the person left, sign it, and be official Rock and Roll Express license plate holder.
That's perfect.
So what kind of stuff do they do?
Haru's made tons of designs for them. I think they're older designs, but that's, I was like, hey, you made these designs. You think we could sell them? And that's how I think he deals with them. So he kind of hooked us up together.
So Haru's one of your designers, but he lives in Japan.
Yeah, he lives in Japan. He's actually the designer of the original Bullet Club t-shirt.
Now that's a whole other thing too. I want to discuss that as well. There's lots. I still want to kind of look. So if I'm on the, this is prowrestlingtees.com. Now, if I want to see the entire lineup,
yeah, it would crash. The site would crash if you tried to see the entire lineup.
Oh, yeah, I can't see the entire lineup.
There's 10,000 shirts.
Oh, so I have to be specific and go actually look
for
somebody?
Yeah, I mean, we have like top sellers for the month or for the week.
Gotcha.
Then we have it all separated by wrestler. We can do like by promotion. But if you try to search every single shirt.
Okay, so wrestler owned stores.
Yeah.
Would that be one I would go to?
Yeah.
So if I go to wrestling owned stores, I'm trying to look for a really obscure person.
Yeah,
I remember Justin Roberts had some t-shirts up.
Justin Roberts has really funny shirts of him with like the Golden Girls surrounding him.
Did they sell like seven or eight shirts?
I think he sold a good amount when he first left WWE.
I used to bug him about that. I'm like, who the hell's gonna buy that stupid shirt? The golden.
Yeah, girl. Like, so all the, those are like top sellers at the top, and you've got like the spotlight wrestlers.
Okay, so
who are
Biff,
like,
Busick.
Yeah.
Let's go to Biff Busick and see if you guys are big Biff Busick fans. Do we know Biff? Have we heard
he's
of
in,
Biff? Before?
He's in NXT.
Oh, he's in NXT.
I don't know his name in NXT.
So how can he have shirts?
Well,
with
he's
you?
Not, he doesn't have that name in NXT.
Okay, he's got a Biff Rules shirt here available.
He used to sell tons of shirts.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, geez, I guess I should get
scroll down to the very bottom.
Up to snuff with
all
my
the way
Biff
to the
Busick.
Bottom.
Okay,
you're so, talking. You're still at the top, like 200.
Well, I didn't. Oh my gosh, it just keeps going and going and going. All right, so I'm gonna. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm scrolling down. I'm gonna close my eyes and just pick a name, and you're gonna tell me what they do. Jordan Len.
No clue who that is.
No. Okay.
I'm sorry, Jordan. I don't.
Hey, listen. And this is nothing. Guys, go out and support Jordan Len. Nick Radford. Not a lot, right?
No. I don't
know. How about this guy? One. I'll do a couple more here. Sonny Boy.
I don't know.
If you guys would like a Sonny Boy shirt, you guys can go to Pro Wrestling Tees / Sonny Boy. He's got some pretty cool shirts here. I'm sure Sonny Boy is a fine. He probably would beat the shit out of me.
You know what's funny?
What?
Frank's known as the Barracuda Mailbox Bomber.
The Barracuda Mailbox Bomber.
You know, like when we were little, he used to wrestle with his friends. So we put up a Barracuda Mailbox Bomber T-shirt. It's got a picture of a Barracuda in a mailbox with a bomb on it. And how many shirts have you sold?
Four
shirts.
Wow.
No, that's, one knows who he is. Never been an actual wrestler.
Well, that's four more than you probably should have sold. the last one on here is Zicky Dice.
We know Zicky.
Okay, so good. And then look, again, we're not taking the piss out of these people.
Yeah,
these are hardworking performers. Please support them if you go to a local show and see them. But basically, what my point is that you have everybody on here. Everybody wants. Oh, the Voros twins.
Yeah,
I just saw them in Seattle.
Guys.
Jack brought them back.
Yeah, I know.
So go buy a Voros twins shirt as well.
So like every day we'll get maybe 10 signups on the website. Not just wrestlers though. So we do podcasts and promotions and news sites and everything. We have different categories. So like we'll let anyone in the wrestling industry.
So you have an open door policy.
If you have, you have to have a certain amount of social media followers.
Which is?
10,000.
Oh.
Between Twitter. Or you could pay a fee. So it's like between Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you have 10,000 Twitter followers, we'll set up your store for free and everything. So
I know that because when Don Callis got back in the business, he was trying to get some Don Callis shirts because he didn't have enough social media followers.
Right. So like,
but does he have enough now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So like if you pay a $75 fee, we'll set it up. I mean, obviously, if you have like 100 Twitter followers, you're probably not going to sell that many shirts, just to be honest. I mean,
let's be honest.
Yeah. They're,
people always go, well, if I could just get 10% of my social media followers to buy something, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. So,
it's like 0.0001%.
So we charge $75, but I'm like, hey, sell 8 shirts and you're making your money back, you know? So like, yeah. I mean, from there, I'll do whatever you want, you know?
You got a lot of Big Japan merchandise.
We just set up the Big Japan store like a couple
around?
Weeks ago.
That was like 20 years
Those
ago.
Those are a lot of design. They don't have a lot of new designs, but I'm like, send me all your old stuff. It's really cool designs. We'll just put them
gotcha.
Up. So we sell
like
a lot of old
nostalgia.
Stuff. We do a lot of old wrestling shirts. Like we will recreate really old shirts from like the 70s and stuff like that.
See, but that's kind of cool. That's retro.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what Bobby Schabinski from Black Craft and I are working on, a Jericho retro. He thinks it's going to be huge.
It's cool.
So, it's interesting though. Like I said, just looking through here, there's some great looking shirts that everybody has a chance to have some merch. Like when I was in WCW, I asked Bischoff if I'd get a shirt made.
Yeah.
And he said, you don't make any money off shirts. I said, it's not about making the money. It's the perception. Perception is reality. If they go to a show and they see a Hulk Hogan shirt and a DDP shirt and a Booker T shirt and no Chris Jericho shirt, that makes me look like nothing. If there's a Jericho shirt, I don't care if it sells zero. It's still up there.
Right.
So once again, I had to go get it made by myself through some guy that knew some guy and do my own commercial for it. It's just amazing how much merch has progressed to where now everybody has a shot.
So when I first came up with the idea for Pro Wrestling Tees, maybe a little before, I reached out to WWE because Colt hooked us up. Like Colt was talking to someone in WWE. They sent me a couple designs to do a test print. They sent me one of your shirts. It was like a blue shirt with Y2J, and I think it had like a silhouette of you, and then like an Undertaker shirt. They're like, send us some shirts. We'll see. Like maybe they were looking for a new printer at the time.
Who was that?
WWE.
Wow. Okay.
So I sent them like shirts just as a test. They didn't really work with digital printers, so they wanted to see like how it would look. And I'm like, hey, I got this idea for like a t-shirt website where we could set up a store for each of the, like, I think NXT just started, like 2012 or something like that. We'll set up a store for each of the guys in NXT because you guys don't make merch for these guys and you don't make merch for some of the lower card people in WWE. So we can set up a store for all these guys and they can all have merchandise and won't cost you anything. And they were like, no, we're not going to do that. They don't deserve merchandise, stuff like that. Like
they said, they don't deserve,
I don't know if they said they didn't deserve merchandise, but they don't, they're not going to sell merch. They're not a big enough draw to sell merchandise. They're not like John Cena. So I'm like, I think everyone should sell merchandise if they market it the right way. If you have a big social media following, you're going to sell merchandise. So I'm like, all right, I'll just start my own site. So that's kind of, I think that's kind of what pushed me to open up Pro Wrestling Tees, to give everyone a chance to sell merchandise. Even if you're a nobody, sure, you can sell merchandise. Look, Frank can sell merchandise.
Well, he sold four.
Yeah.
There you go. He might even sell a fifth one. Is there any chance we can get a Jack Slade category
yeah,
opened
up? Yeah, of course.
Up? The skinny Englishman? The thin white dude? but I mean, the WWE is very specific.
Yeah.
With their merch, because I can see that, like, there are people that don't have merch.
Yeah, they're doing a lot more now with people like newer guys.
You don't get a freaking ribbon for participation.
Right.
If you're not over enough,
yeah,
you don't get merch. It's as right. simple as that. Whereas for you,
yeah,
anybody can have merch. At least they have something up.
Because we don't stock inventory, so we have 10,000 designs, but we don't have 10,000 shirts. Imagine, a lot of people don't understand like why it takes 7 to 10 days for us to actually get the order, print it, and ship it out. I mean, we're getting thousands of shirts a week. We don't have inventory. It's not WWE where we pull it off the shelf and ship it out. We actually have to order it and print it and sort it.
But that's not financially feasible anymore. It's much better. Like you said, you have this cyber warehouse
yeah.
with, you know, 10,000 shirts, but you don't have to stock anything.
Right.
You know, let's talk about the Young Bucks here.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some of the
things.
That's
one thing
that you
mentioned. We do stock Young Bucks shirts.
Well, Young Bucks have just gone off the charts
yeah.
all across the board. I mean, right. Hot Topic, number one seller until the Alpha Club came out. Now they're distant number two. Thank yeah. you very much. but I'm joking, of course. Actually, I'm not. But you've got so much Bullet Club and so much Young Bucks.
Yeah.
When did you start seeing the whole phenomenon of the Young Bucks begin?
I think it was probably when they joined Bullet Club, I think. They were always selling a lot of merchandise.
They're hustlers.
Yeah, definitely. Once they joined Bullet Club, I can't remember exactly when, but it was just all of a sudden they just started selling tons of merchandise. And obviously I'm going to work harder for the guys that are selling merchandise. So I'm constantly coming up with ideas every day. I'm texting with Matt like, hey, let's do this. Let's do that. So
as far as making different designs,
yeah, different designs,
types of merch,
different products, like
what's like some of the most ridiculous products that they have now?
I mean, today I talked to Matt and I'm like, hey, why don't we make some headphone earbuds so they can listen to your new, the YouTube show Being the Elite. And then we'll do it as an add on to every order. We'll charge like $5 for little earbuds that say Being the Elite. And now everyone can listen to Being the Elite with their own Being the Elite,
so smart.
Barry, the bear. That, do you know about that? The bear that they have that for Being the Elite, they and All In the show, and they just revealed it was Kenny Omega. So we came.
It's like a guy in a bear costume?
Yeah, bear yeah. costume. Barry the drug free bear. We just made plush bears with All In t shirts. We're gonna start selling those. Ring of Honor is gonna start selling them too. So like
Cody told me he started wearing a weight belt in the ring. You're gonna start doing
I saw those the other day, yeah.
You're salivating already.
I'll sell anything. People are like, I can't believe you're selling all this weird stuff. I'm like, we sell Bullet Club belts and socks and water bottles. I mean,
you should meet Gene Simmons. He would love you.
Yeah.
You've got the definite Kiss mentality. If you can put Young Bucks on or Bullet Club, sell yeah, it. Right. Bullet Club condoms.
Sure, why not?
Number one with a bullet.
I tell him, like, just ride it while it lasts. Like, I don't know when or if they might go to WWE, but I assume if they ever do that, we won't be able to sell their merchandise anymore. So, I mean, why not try to capitalize?
They're making
it
so much money on merch. It would be a lot. Because one thing I talked to somebody yesterday was asking me some advice on that. WWE does not budge when it comes to the merchandising.
Yeah.
As far as the percentages that the guys get.
Right.
That will not change. At least it would take a very special case for it to change.
Yeah.
But, I think I would assume the Young Bucks are making tons of cash, not just from pro wrestling tees.
That's
actually where I first heard about pro wrestling tees, when I had them on my podcast years ago. They kept saying, Young Bucks merchandise, go to pro wrestling tees.
Now they have their own merchandise site. They do their own stuff. So they'll do stuff that's not on pro wrestling tees. They'll get leggings and they'll do autographs and posters and stickers. So they've got Young Bucks merch. And then they've got the Hot Topic deal. So they've got three different avenues. And then they've got, if they do independent shows, they'll sell their own merchandise there too. So they really got four different ways for merchandise.
Where's the Hot Topic tie-in come in with all this?
So Joe's the buyer at Hot Topic. He reached out to me, I think after WrestleMania last year. He was like, I saw so many Bullet Club t-shirts there. Are you guys in a retail store? And I'm like, no, I've always wanted to get into retail.
So he went to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And saw all these Bullet Club
shirts.
Yeah,
he's a huge wrestling fan. So he went and saw, he's like, everywhere I go, there's Bullet Club shirts everywhere.
Not knowing who they were, just seeing the shirts.
No, I think he knew who Bullet Club was, but I think he said there was like more Bullet Club shirts than John Cena shirts or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember. But so he's like, maybe we should get these in all of our stores. And I'm like, sure, let's do it. And initially, usually when they test out products, I think they do like 1,000 to 2,000 items as a test. They put in like an $8,000 to $10,000 or 10,000 piece order initially for Bullet Club, just right off the bat, which is like shocking, I guess.
That's what they did for the Alpha Club shirt too, though.
Yeah, they did.
8,000 right off the bat. Yeah.
So like normally with like a new license, they said nobody in Hot Topic even knew about New Japan or Bullet Club. It was really only Joe that knew about it. He's like, we should do this. So that's kind of how it started.
So how does that fall back onto you then? Because you can make the designs.
I have the license in the U.S. to print the stuff. Nobody else does, at least right now. So I've been printing it for 3 years now. I've got the almost exclusive license in the United States, but we do ship worldwide. So he came to me and was like, how do I get these shirts? I'm like, let me talk to New Japan. So I kind of brokered the deal between New Japan and Hot Topic. We signed a deal that allowed us to do that. What's unique about the deal is instead of paying New Japan the full royalty, if the shirt belongs to a wrestler, let's say we're doing a Bullet Club Young Bucks shirt, they'll let me split the royalty. So now I get to pay the wrestlers directly and they get paid right away.
That happened when we did the Alpha versus Omega shirt.
Exactly.
Here, right. They decided to sell at the Tokyo Dome, but then they gave us the right to sell it in the States on Pro Wrestling Tees well. But you still had to cut them in for a certain amount.
Right, we had to cut them in,
Right. So how is it working with the Japanese?
It's easy, I guess. I mean, initially it was hard. I think once I started selling a shitload of merchandise and doing this Hot Topic. Now, before I would send them, hey, look at this cool Bullet Club shirt I made. And they're like, not approved. Everything was not approved. Nope, they don't want to do it. Now, almost everything's approved. I'll send them a new design. They'll be like, yeah, do it.
So New Japan owns the rights to the Bullet Club.
Yeah, trademarked and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because wasn't Finn Balor the guy who thought of it?
Yeah.
Why didn't he trademark it?
I don't know.
Once again, Gene Simmons told me, trademark everything. Trademark everything. If you try and make any shirts of Jericho, I own all the trademarks. I'm just telling you that right now.
Got it.
But man, Finn must be kicking himself because the Bullet Club is everywhere.
I think they wanted to do Bullet Club over in WWE, but
didn't own it.
Yeah, didn't own it.
Yeah. But no, Bullet Club's even bigger than the Young Bucks.
In terms of merch sales, yeah, definitely.
Because there's so many different styles and designs.
Bullet Club, the original Bullet Club shirt is probably our highest seller of all time. It's still like in the top three of like currently, even though it's been around for 3 or 4 years.
The original black and white.
Maybe 5 years. I don't know. I don't remember when exactly we first printed it, but
the original black and white one. Like that's like the Austin 316.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people say that it has that feel like the Austin 316 or like the NWO. It's just black and white, simple, cool design, and that's kind of what attracted people. Like when you watch WWE, like I think those, I don't know if it's just me, but those shirts stand out to me. Like I could spot a Bullet Club shirt like anywhere.
I've learned over the years that like slogan shirts usually do pretty good. Like you said, like a Bullet Club with the design, right? Like for example, like when the shirts that I had that had my face on it, with the exception of the Alpha Club, but that's different because it had a different feel and look, but like an actual, just a color face of you, those don't sell for shit.
Some of them do, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's got that old school 90s feel and some people don't like that anymore. They like the more logo style or text Roots of Fight style, you know, those types of shirts.
That's
the new thing. Those are cool.
Because that's another thing, Roots of Fight kind of designed that, and everybody just rips it off.
Yeah, basically. They came up with their own style, I think. It's just textual, but it's so cool. I mean,
they should have trademarked
it. I own almost all their shirts, so I wear them all the time. But yeah.
Who was the original Bullet Club? Do we know this? Who was it?
Original Bullet Club? Finn and Carl Anderson, and then Tama Tonga, and who else?
Gallus came after. So the Tongans are kind of the forgotten members of the Bullet Club. They must be kind of pissed.
I don't know. I'm sure they feel. I don't know. I think they're still huge in Japan. I mean, they've got their own little thing that's going on right now. I think it's kind of like half. Like you got the guys over here in America that are on the Ring of Honor style, and then you got the ones that are still in New Japan every day.
What is your all time biggest seller?
Bullet Club.
The original Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Wow.
On pro wrestling tees alone, I think we did like maybe 30,000 pieces. That's a lot. 30, that's a lot 000. For us. I mean, then you've got like all the wholesale, that's, like Ring of Honor wholesales from us. We sell the Las Vegas Fight Shop, all these places. Plus you add Hot Topic in there. I mean, it's gotta be like close to 150,000-200,000.
Who's your biggest individual talent seller? Like Bullet Club is a gang, but as far as person,
Young Bucks.
What about for one guy?
Marty Scurll.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I saw you had Marty Scurll umbrellas for sale in there.
Yeah. Marty's another guy. I'll just do anything. I mean, we got weird looking masks that we got made. And
what are those masks?
His plague doctor is from so we just made like knockoff ones, and
it's a great gimmick.
We sell those. Yeah, it's cool. He sells tons. So our top three sellers last year, 2017, were Bucks, Scurll, and then Steve Austin. Top three.
Wow. Now, because for a while, Punk was getting all of his shirts made here too, right?
Yeah. He still
Besides
does.
The original.
He still does.
Does he still sell some decent merch?
Yeah, he sells a good amount. He's still like a top 10 seller, even though he's not on TV or anymore or WWE.
Does he still send you designs from time to time?
Or I send him designs. We got a couple coming out, some exclusive C2E2s, a comic convention here in Chicago next weekend. That we came up with two new designs for that. So I'll throw them new designs once in a while, and then we put up new stuff.
And it's interesting. I was laughing because I met your mom before, and she's like the accountant.
She does human resource and accounting. Yeah.
Well, human resources. What does that mean?
You know, deals with the employees and like problems.
How many employees do you have?
30.
30 employees.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Full time.
Since when?
I think we had like 20 last year, and now we added another 10, right? I don't know.
Because you said you just opened the kind of the brick and mortar store, because before it was all just existing online, but now you actually have a store.
Yeah, but nobody runs it. The best thing about this is that the store costs nothing to run. We have this facility for Pro Wrestling Crate, but the front, we lock the door and you have to walk through 1 hour tees, and then we have one of the employees over there come in and help the customers. We don't actually have someone that sits in the store that we're paying. The merchandise it's there, but we don't, it didn't cost
it
us anything to run.
It's almost like, I'm not going to say a tourist destination, but is it getting that?
It is. I mean,
vibe?
We have people come from all over the world, not just for the store, but they're visiting Chicago. It's a big tourist destination. They're like, oh, I have to go buy pro wrestling tees. People come, take pictures, buy stuff. We have a lot of in-store exclusives. Bullet Club Chicago, Lion Mark. Like, we'll do a lot of New Japan with like the Chicago flag through it. So people come because they can only get it here. We won't ship it anywhere.
It's interesting because I remember not this time, but a couple times ago, I was driving down the road downtown. There's a big giant pro wrestling tees billboard on the highway. You can see that.
Yeah, we got tons, and we put Colt on all the billboards.
No, why Colt? Because he was the OG or what?
Yeah, I mean, without him, we wouldn't really have pro wrestling tees.
Does he have a piece of the company?
He has a small interest in it. Nice. He helped me start it. If it wasn't for him.
And you were actually, I just was going to say, Colt's coming on the cruise, but you brokered that deal as well.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to bring him on, and he does a really funny show, and I think you guys will like it.
It's called
Unprofessional Wrestling.
I'm really excited.
They'll
to see
do
that.
Like, you know, Mystery Science Theater style, you know, jokes over there.
Because you're wrestling. Actually doing the official merch for the Jericho cruise, cruise as well.
Our
for
designer
the
came
Wrestling
up
Rager
with
Sea.
Three awesome designs.
And you're hustling. So did you reached out to Sixth Man, who's promoting the cruise?
Yeah.
And asked them if you could do it, right?
Yeah, it would be a sponsor. Why not? Why not be part of the?
Yeah,
the first wrestling. I mean, it's not. There was a wrestling cruise back in the day, right?
Not like this though.
Not like this. This is different.
Yeah, those are shit.
I wanted to be a part of it, so yeah. I'm like, why not make the merchandise?
It's unbelievable, man. It's really interesting to me how you've expanded so much.
Yeah.
Because once again, this is a very niche market. But if you can strike gold like you did,
it's niche. But like, who else does it?
That's what I mean. Nobody's doing it.
Right. So we started a while ago. I mean, we got. I'd say we got lucky, but I don't know.
I want to talk to you a little about some of the appearances that you have. But first of all, we're sitting here in the Pro Wrestling Crates
Pro Wrestling
room.
Crate.
Explain that. Because every month,
Yeah.
Somehow I get a crate from the WWE and I get a science fiction crate.
Right.
I don't know how. Oh, no, it's a loot crate. That's what it is.
Loot crate does the slam crate. So we do, we bought the company from a couple guys that used to own Top Rope Tuesday. They started Pro Wrestling Crate and they didn't want to do it anymore. So I'm like, yeah, they asked me if I wanted to buy it. And I'm like, sure, I'll buy it. They had about 300 subscribers at the time that we bought it. Now we're pushing 3,500, which is a lot.
A month?
Yeah, 3,500 subscribers.
And so they subscribe. So how much does it cost to subscribe?
You can get it's as low as $10 and as much as $45 with shipping. So you can get our main box is you get two t-shirts. They're exclusive designs, custom soft nice shirts, two shirts, an autographed 8x10 DVD, a little micro brawler figure that we custom make in China. We get them shipped over here. Our own figure. We got collector's pins in every crate. Sometimes throw in a poster and then like a fun little collectible. Everything's like a mystery. So nobody knows what they're getting, but they know what wrestlers are in the crate. So we'll be like, we have like 9 wrestlers for this crate. Last month we did the Golden Era. So we did, there was like a Hogan and a Steamboat shirt. And then we did like a Jake the Snake autograph. And you've got, a Tito Santana pin.
So you send a whole box of 8x10s to Jake and say sign.
Yeah, or we'll fly them in here. So I mean, sending them to them is one thing, and then sometimes we'll fly them in for like a day, and they'll just sit here and sign autographs all day for us. It's a full time job, and I do it all myself. It's pretty difficult. I curate the whole entire box. I help with the design. Like Dave, our designer, kind of designs a lot of the stuff, but I'll have to come up with the ideas and reaching out to the wrestlers and saying, hey, do you like this? And then everything's a theme. So like, I can't just grab a bunch of random wrestlers and throw them into this box. So it's pretty difficult. And then you have to.
Do you have like overall deals with them all? Do you have to cut separate deals for each guy?
Yeah, each guy. I'm just like, hey, I could pay you this much. You want to do it? Yeah or no? And then they just do it. So like one guy might get $1,000. One might get $5,000. I don't know, like what they want.
Whatever, right?
And if they like it, then it's great. But there's a lot of guys that don't like it. So I have to, go back to the drawing board and try to figure out who I could put in this crate. Like we're doing Best of the Indies this month. It's got, all the Bullet Club guys or the Being the Elite guys.
It's got a Chucky Taylor and
Chuck Taylor item,
Trent Beretta bottle opener.
Yeah,
was I supposed to say that?
No, don't. Oh, okay, but it's too late. Yeah, it's too fine. Late.
Now that's an exclusive here.
It's exclusive.
Talk is Jericho, and there's also an 8x10 of Jack Slade's friend.
Yeah,
we're not going to say who that is.
Don't say that.
He or she knows who he or she is.
Yeah,
at least we hope.
So this is our actually biggest, our highest selling month for that crate.
Can people buy per month or do you subscribe for the year?
Yeah, you can just do a month.
It's unbelievable.
Just 1 month cancel. You could do a whole year subscription if you want. We do a lot of gifts for people. And we'll have about 8 people like lined up all through here. And we'll, all those boxes back there, we'll package them all in. We've got the tape machine.
Is it amazing to you how popular wrestling is right now?
Yeah, I mean, indie wrestling. It's amazing how much it's grown from when I didn't know anything about indie wrestling. Now I know everything about it. I can't believe it. It's huge.
And I was going to say interesting, but just wrestling in general, because before, there was WWE, there was WCW, there was ECW,
right.
Earlier than that, you could go make some money in Japan or Mexico. That kind of went down. Now New Japan is so hot. WWE is super hot. NXT is super hot. Ring of Honor is super hot. AAW and freaking, pro wrestling, penis is big time in Australia, whatever it's called. All over the place. Pro Wrestling Penis. Go watch the show if you want to see that one. It's a favorite. Jack Slade's favorite. But I mean, just everywhere. Every country.
Right.
The ancillary benefits for a businessman like yourself.
Yeah.
The bigger the business is, the better your business is too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the more they sell, the more popular they are, the more we sell. I mean, the more contra- I, you know, I always think like, why, I always try to figure out why the Young Bucks sell so many shirts. Like, and I feel like they have such a huge fan base, but they also have such a group of people that hate them. Like they hate the Young Bucks. They always give them so much shit online. And I feel like that fuels their popularity. Like people want to like them more. So they keep buying their merchandise. I'm just like, it's crazy.
The biggest stars in anything are never 100% liked, nor should they be.
Right.
It's like if you're not pissing people off, some people, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that just makes your fans love you even more.
Right.
Makes your detractors hate you even more.
Yeah.
And it just ends up keeping you, more in the public eye.
Right.
You do meet and greets here. Like, is it autograph signings per se? I noticed that you had Vicky Guerrero coming in.
Yeah, autograph and photos. We got Greg Valentine, Tito Santana, Coco Beware. Let's bring in whoever. I don't care. We'll bring in anyone to sign autographs and
pay just them a certain amount of money.
Like, I don't even profit from most of the stuff. As long as I break even and give the fans like a cool like experience, like I'm excited to just have them in the store and bring all this stuff to Chicago. It's pretty cool.
Who are some of the characters that you have to deal with? Because those old school guys can be kind of a little bit off the rails sometimes.
Like, how old are we talking?
You know, like if you're talking about like Coco Beware, Jake the Snake, or Greg the Hammer, any of those type of guys.
Yeah, Jake's awesome. He's really cool to deal with. Jake's been here a couple times. Some of these guys I don't deal with. I deal with like their agents or managers.
Their people.
Yeah, but I'm excited to meet them for sure. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Chicago is such a big wrestling town, but are a lot of the people coming from Chicago, or are there people coming from all over? Or?
It's mostly all over. You mean wrestlers? Or like just people?
For people that come
for the meet and greet? Most of the people for the meet and greets are local people. But like for our grand opening, we did a Bullet Club meet and greet.
I saw that.
After the Ring of Honor show, we had all the members over here. Not all of them, but the ones from the Elite, being the Elite. They came in. We had people from all over the place. I think they said like someone was here from Sweden, Australia. They came in.
Because you had the whole
club. I can't say that they were here just for our event, but like the Ring of Honor show was the night before. Omega was coming in and defending his belt for the first time. So like, yeah, they came in. They came from all over the country. They were like, we stayed an extra day just so we can come here. It was huge. We had the news here. It was a big deal for us.
Lying down the block.
Oh yeah.
How does Kenny Omega sell?
Yeah, huge.
Huge, yeah.
I mean, he's right up there with like Marty and the Bucks and Cody. I mean, they all sell really well.
That's the thing that I love about it is those guys, they don't have to go to WWE anymore. They can, like we mentioned, Young Bucks or Marty or Cody.
Yeah,
or,
but like would they be as big if there was no Bullet Club? I don't know. It's a question.
All based around the Bullet Club.
I don't know. I mean, I think that they could be. Like they definitely have the talent and they're great wrestlers and everything, but if there was no Bullet Club, like I don't know if like a lot of the top selling shirts are Bullet Club parodies. It's like I don't know if they would sell as much if like we didn't have the like the
Stephen Amell.
Yeah,
like, what's Stephen Amell gonna sell if it's not a Bullet Club style
right
shirt?
He did the Bullet Club parody, like the Bullet Club parodies, that's what people want. I mean, the Bucks sell tons of shirts that are not the Bullet Club parody, but that's their top selling shirt.
Even the Alpha Club is kind of a
Bullet Club parody. It looks a little different.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it all comes from the Bullet Club. But now at this point, I don't think they need the Bullet Club anymore.
When I was in Japan, there was a lot of Los Ignorables. What is that? Los Ignorables. How is it?
Ingobernables.
The Ignorables.
Ignorables, sure.
The Ignorables. Yeah. Say it again.
Ingobernables.
Ingobernables.
Yeah.
Lots of Ingobernables.
Yeah. We had Naito here at the shop.
Yeah, yeah.
He was here. He did a meet and greet. It was awesome.
Right on.
Yeah. Frank had to drive him to the airport.
It was a great time. Oh, yeah? Big conversation?
Oh, great. 45 minutes in a car.
He's got a giant head.
Yeah,
I was going to say that. You guys both have really big heads.
It's all hair, though.
if you take his wig off, he's just got a little pea head.
I'm like, that hair is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. He's got crazy hair. Yeah. I love the Japanese style of like, okay, I'm going to grow this hair out, but just in a certain area. I'm just going to grow the back out and a little bit on the sides, yeah. And I'm going to color it kind of brownish orange.
Yeah.
So it's not normal.
Right.
And it just makes him look like he has a giant head. So there you go, Naito, you big-headed dummy. but lots of merch in Japan for the LIJ.
Yeah, they're huge.
Here too in the States?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
I mean, we put them in Hot Topic. We just put a new one in there, the Cabron one. It's the top-selling new arrival.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. It makes me laugh how the Japanese guy sells a lot of merch in the States with the Spanish words.
I know.
Right?
I know. Yeah, it's weird.
You know what I can never figure out, too, why he was always holding his eye?
It was something in Mexico, but I don't know.
No, because
exactly.
It's Naito, isn't it? Like Naito? Naito?
I'm not sure what it is.
I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know.
Those crazy Japanese, I can never figure them out.
Yeah.
Last couple questions. Do you go to a lot of wrestling shows now?
Yeah. Probably not. Actually, no. I don't go to that many. I go to
yeah, no,
I was just in Long Beach for the New Japan show. I've never been to a New Japan show, so I flew out there this weekend. Me and Frank, we went out there.
How was it?
With friends. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really cool. We met the Hot Topic people there. We took them to the show. It was really cool. We go to Ring of Honor shows when they're here. We used to go to Royal Rumble like all the time. We don't go anymore. I don't have much time. We're working so much.
How many hours do you spend here in the shop, so to speak?
Probably like 10 hours a day. Frank's here like 12 hours a day, 13 hours a day.
Jeez, man. It sounds like Frank's really running the show here.
I'm just busy. I got three kids now.
You're just the figurehead.
It's difficult.
You're just the Jack Tunney of Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah.
What's that? You got it? Yeah. Last two questions. Who's your all-time favorite wrestler?
Steve Austin. No. Okay. Is that like two? Like, no. Does everyone say that?
No.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say that. He's the most popular wrestler.
I mean, he is. When I talked to him, I was like sweating on the phone. I hope he doesn't listen to this, but yeah, I mean, yeah.
I want to know how the conversation went, but you got to do it in a Steve Austin voice.
I can't do. I don't know if it gets Steve.
Did you call him or did he call you?
I think he called me.
Ryan, Steve Austin.
Yeah, Steve.
Want to do some shirts?
I think.
I don't want all this bullshit. I don't like
this one. The
funny
thing about him is
he sucks, man.
He has the best. He cares so much about his merchandise, but he doesn't know what he likes. So he'll be like, "Here's 30 designs. I need these 30 designs in like four different color t-shirts." And then I'll decide maybe I'll like five of them. So I'll send him all these shirts, and he'll wear it for his show on CMT, the Broken Skull Challenge.
Yeah.
So I'll send him like all these different colors, all these designs, and he'll pick like four or five. So I end up sending him like 60, 70 shirts, and he'll only pick like five that he likes.
But the thing that's cool about it too, just as we wind down, you split with the wrestlers pretty much 50-50, correct?
Yeah, after cost of goods, it's about 50-50 split.
Say it again?
After cost of goods. It's about 50-50 split.
You're not going to get that. You know, when you're in WWE, you're making, you know, significantly less,
shall we say.
Right,
so I started the company to give wrestlers money. I never really thought it was going to be this big. I kind of wish at the beginning I didn't initially start with, like, this high royalty, but whatever. So I started the company.
Typical promoter.
Like, I wanted to give wrestlers extra money. Maybe they can make money to pay their rent or like pay for gas to go to these shows. I don't know. So that's why we started the company, to make wrestlers extra money. So I was like, I'm not trying to get rich off these wrestlers. Let's do like a 50-50 split after cost of goods. And it's like, it comes out to like a 30-50% royalty.
Now, is that kind of a favored nation that never changes for anybody? Like, if you're working with somebody like, you know, you don't have to say specifically, but if it's an Austin, is it still the same rate?
Like, I think that if he hits a certain number, I'll give him bonuses. Gotcha. Stuff like that. There's a lot of different, like, if you add multiple prints, it brings down your percentages. If you know, stuff like stuff like that.
And what's your favorite shirt?
My favorite shirt? Man, I don't know. The other day I was saying that Ramon shirt might be my favorite shirt.
That's a pretty cool looking
one. It's awesome. I don't know. I'm trying to think. What's my favorite
shirt? Frank, what's your favorite shirt?
A plain black shirt.
Frank's been wearing the same plain black Gildan t-shirt for 8 years. He wears the same shirt. I'm like, do you want like a nice soft one? He's like, no, Gildan 8000. I'm like, all right. I think the Bullet Club Chicago shirt that we made is like my favorite.
Cool. It's like you could do that for every city.
I could, yeah. But
can you do a Bullet Club Winnipeg shirt?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
So it's like the Bullet Club design is probably my favorite, but then when we put the flag in it, now it's like, it's kind of like my shirt. Right,
it's just almost like Iron Maiden when they go to different cities. Yeah. They have a different shirt with Eddie in front of Madison Square Garden or Eddie in front of the United Center. You could do that for. We should start this. They cut me in on it.
Yeah,
Bullet Club shirt with whatever city you live in's flag. Do they have flags for cities?
Yeah, but none of them are great.
Oh,
they just got like, who is like the Chicago flag?
I didn't know there was a Chicago flag.
There is. It's got the. I mean, CM Punk's gear is Chicago flag. It's got the four stars and the blue.
So if I'm living in Sheboygan, probably not a great flag.
No, I don't know. Like, Texas has a cool flag, but that's the whole state. And then California.
That would be good. You could do a state.
California's got a cool flag, but I don't know any other flags, do you? I don't know any.
Do I look like the flag master? We just Google it.
Yeah,
I guess. Know? Okay, final thing. We're going to go through I'm going to spin through all of these people.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick one out.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to give it away.
Okay, good.
To a lucky listener at Talk Is Jericho on the Twitter. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, Jack, come over here. I'm going to let Jack Slade, my intrepid assistant. We're going to spin through these, and you're going to just choose one. And whichever one you choose, close your eyes.
I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to find where
the phone is. The phone, okay, just put your finger down. The Mysterious Movado.
There you go.
All right, I'm going to buy a Mysterious Movado shirt, and I'm going to give it away to whoever tweets at Talk Is Jericho, hashtag hashtag Mysterious Movado. I don't know how to spell it. Hashtag Movado, M-O-V-A-D-O. And I will choose one, and send you your Mysterious Movado shirt. So we're going to welcome to the online t-shirt home of the Mysterious Movado, hailing from the planet Detroit. The Mysterious One is a vet of the independent scene, been putting his unique out of this earth style and twist on wrestling for over a decade. You've seen his mask on Travel Channel's Man vs. Food, America's Got Talent, American Ninja Warrior, holy shit, and now you can own your very own Mysterious Movado t-shirt and join the league of Movado's humans, presented right here by Pro Wrestling Tees and Ryan Barkin. Very cool stuff.
Very cool.
Thanks, man.
All right, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, thanks to Ryan Barkin of Pro Wrestling Tees. He has made three exclusive shirts for Chris Jericho's Rockin' Wrestling Rager at Sea, and the only place you can get any of them is on the ship itself. You got to be on that cruise to get the exclusive shirt designs. We just released a brand new Bucks of Jericho, or is it Y2J Action t-shirt, Hot Topic. Go check that out. That's selling really well. You can get that at all Hot Topics online at ProWrestlingTees.com or on the cruise. And speaking of the cruise, there's less than 25 cabins left. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And remember, everything is included in the price of a cabin. All the food, concerts, live podcasts, stand-up shows, meet and greets, autograph sessions, rock and roll shows, wrestling matches. The only thing you got to pay for is alcohol and gambling. So come hang out and be a part of the big main event, the Alpha Club versus the Bullet Club, the Bucks of Jericho, Chris Jericho and the Young Bucks versus Kenny Omega, Cody and Marty Scurll. Don't forget Impact versus Ring of Honor, the No Rules Deck fight between Sammy Callahan and Marty Scurll, the Dream Match, LAX versus the Young Bucks, the 10-man elimination tag team War featuring the Bucks, Cody, Marty Scurll, and Adam Page versus LAX, Sammy Callahan, Brian Cage, and Johnny Mundo is going to be there. Don't forget the Battle of the Sexes, James Ellsworth versus Jenny Rose for Ellsworth's Intergender Championship match. So much stuff going on. Live Talk is Jericho with the Bullet Club, Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, Remembering Eddie Guerrero, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Mick Foley doing his 20 Years of Hell. That's a great, great show. And like I mentioned before, the first round of the Sea of Honor tournament announced. You can go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com and see that. Jay Lethal's in it, Chris Daniels, Marty Scurll, the Briscoe Brothers Cheeseburger, and we got Brandi Rhodes, Mandy Leon, Sumi Sakai, Jenny Rose is going to be there, the SoCal Val, Melissa Santos, Noelle Foley, live music from Fozzy, Corey Taylor, Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, the King, the Stir, the Dave Spivak Project, his new video, Cold Empty Streets, is out now on YouTube. Go check that out. Cherry Bombs, the Darlings of Rock and Roll. Shoot the Thrill, AC/DC cover band, female. Blizzard of Ozzy, Ozzy Osbourne cover band, male. So much stuff going on. Live comedy from Brad Williams, Craig Gass, Sal and Q from the Impractical Jokers, Marty DeRosa. You do not want to miss this. Killing the Town versus Keeping It 100, Conan versus Cyrus, Don Callis. Go check it out now. Book your cabin and be a part of history. Less than 25 cabins to go. Less than 3 weeks to go before we set sail. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Do not miss out on this. So that's it. Thank you so much for checking us out today. Next Wednesday, we will be back with Kevin Kelly, New Japan's announcer, former Raw announcer, former SmackDown announcer, and one of favorite targets of The Rock. He used to call him Hermie. You remember that? And then the big 500th episode with a huge Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. I'll announce that to you next week. So in the meantime, and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy, and go to ProWrestlingTees.com and check out some stuff. Get some Jack Slade shirts. He's going to be in the cruise as well. Jack Slade, Drunken Mania. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com and check it out.